Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
Hey guys, unfortunately, almost half you men out there over 40 need to listen up. And we know this is uncomfortable to talk about, but it's common and not weird, and there's something you can do about it. ED, not being able to perform your best. Now, thanks to science, it can be optional. 4hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Prescription solutions backed by science. One ED pill starting with a V just came off patent on December 11th, and that's a game changer. Being your best means performing your best. And now you can do it with no waiting room, no trip to the pharmacy, just a simple online medical consultation and direct shipment to your door. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/big. That's forhims.com/big. 4hims.com/big.
All right, glad you're with us. Wow, a lot of news we've got to get to today. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. You know how we always talk about fake news and conspiracy TV, MSNBC, fake news, CNN, et cetera, et cetera? It is interesting that last night, so the president's given a rip-roaring rally in, what, Duluth, Minnesota. I mean, he's on his A-game. He's loving it with the crowd. The crowd's loving him. And at one point, now imagine, CNN's just dipping in and out. And I was thinking about this. Why is Fox just covering this? And I'm like, because everything that they say to their audiences, he's shattering every lie, every illusion, every phony narrative, and he's going directly to the audience, and they don't want to come off as the liars that they are. And I guess it makes sense, because if you're fake news CNN and the president's talking about the fake news media and how dishonest the media is, and he says this and the people react this way.
So we've created 3.4 million new jobs since Election Day. 3.4. And I've said before, if I would have said that to you during the campaign, those very dishonest people back there, the fake news, very dishonest, they would have said he's exaggerating.
Why would CNN want to cover real news? And then, you know, think about the headline of this, that the president of the United States of America calls out the lying of the corrupt media industrial complex, and the crowd starts chanting they suck, and they're supposed to cover news. Well, they don't want to cover the real news.
This is CNN.
And in a weird way, I kind of understand it. Because who wants to be called out for having sucked when your audience is diminished already to a remarkably low level? You know, these shows can't crack a million people a night. They can't. It's like barely. It's so bad. Now, you have conspiracy TV. They didn't even try. They just stuck with their phony narrative, by the way, and that's all about. All right, we got a lot of news today. We have some incredible deep state news. We have a great article out by Sarah Carter. We're going to get into that today. Andy McCarthy, I mean, he wrote a blockbuster column how the IG report should end Mueller's obstruction investigation. I think the whole thing obviously is illegitimate and tainted from the get-go, and for obvious reasons, not the least of which the people that began it were big Trump haters. And that would render anything they did in the beginning to keep this thing going illegitimate. And I will tell you, I think it's going to impact every single solitary case so far. And that means everything from, the Paul Manafort case, the Flynn case, probably the Cohn case, and probably everything. You know, if there is a Cohn case, you know, but I'm just telling you, everything now is tainted. Because none of this happens but for the corrupt individuals that initiated the investigation that literally prevented Hillary Clinton from being charged because they thought they knew better than the entire rest of the American people about what was right, good, just, and fair, and who should be your president and who shouldn't be your president. I mean, that's pretty corrupt. That's on a pretty high level of the corruption scale. Now, on the immigration things, the president rightly is putting pressure on Mitch McConnell to end the filibuster rule, and he's arguing that the parliamentary procedure, which was not always the case historically, if you're interested in a few historical tidbits and news facts, but anyway, it's killing Republicans from actually advancing a real agenda. Now, I'm going to get to how the House leadership made the same mistake that they made over the health care bill in a second. And what the president is saying is, what's the purpose of the House doing good immigration bills when you need 9 votes by Democrats in the Senate and Democrats only want to obstruct, which they feel, you know, is good for the midterms? Republicans got to get rid of the stupid filibuster rule. It's killing you. It is killing people. And you know what? The House has passed a lot of bills, good bills, that the Senate won't even take up. And, you know, now the president's saying, okay, we got an opportunity to fix. What he did yesterday is a temporary Band-Aid fix. It's not, I don't even think it's one that would hold up in a court of law. And as I've played the 22 times Obama said it, he recognized he's not an emperor and that his job is to execute the laws of the land. And in other words, it's what Donald Trump did yesterday was basically circumvent a law. And he did it because, it's bad law, but it's not going to hold. The answer, the real answer, the long-term answer, the correct answer, the constitutional answer is for Congress to pass a bill and then for him to sign it into law. And he's pretty much offered everything and anything to get that deal done. And so, okay, the Democrats, if they really cared about children, to the extent they seem to care about children or say they care about children, well, they can get their DACA fix. They can legally end any chance of separation of parents and their children, although that problem probably will be non-existent because if you build the wall, people aren't going to be able to walk across the border as freely as they do now, which would solve the problem permanently and end the problem. So it's really up to the Democrats. So what I'm saying is they actually prefer politics over solving problems. And that's a sad state of affairs, especially considering they always claim to have a monopoly of compassion for the poor and for women and for minorities, etc. Well, Obama had 8 years and 13 million more Americans ended up on food stamps. Many of them were minorities and 8 million more in poverty. Many of them, too, were minorities. And now Donald Trump, in over 500 days, what has he done? We have more jobs available in this country than we have on unemployment. We now have 14 states that have record low unemployment numbers. We have record low unemployment numbers for Hispanics, African-Americans, and women. Just think about that. Record lows. And the president, he doesn't deserve credit for that? Here's the Democratic agenda. Look, we're going to start ramping up our coverage of the 2018 midterm elections really soon. And the reason is simple, is that this is the most important midterm election in your lifetime. And because we know what the Democratic agenda is, it's very simple and it's 4 items. Item number 1 is that they want to impeach 45. Now, they have pulled into private meetings people like Maxine Waters and others that have been out there leading chants, impeach 45, impeach 45. There's a reason Maxine Waters isn't saying it anymore, because Democrats are saying, Maxine, yeah, we're going to impeach him, but don't tell anybody. Now, that sounds like real, honest to goodness politics to me. Well, that's what your goal is. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to achieve. But you're not going to tell the American people what you really want to do. I think there's another word for that, and that's called manipulation, lying, pick your choice. But they're basically lying to the American people. They won't tell you what their real agenda is, but we do know this. We know their real agenda includes open borders. We know their real agenda means keeping Obamacare, the disaster that is. And we know their real agenda, they've actually stated this one in a few moments of honesty, is what Nancy Pelosi referred to as crumbs, you know, on average $2,000 a family, the tax cuts, that she wants her crumbs back. And she wants the tax cuts rescinded. And she wants you to pay more. So if you vote for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and her for speaker, they just know you're voting to pay a lot more money in taxes. That's money you can be spending on your family, on your kids, on your future, on your truck, on your house, your vacation, your dinner nights, if you like to go out to dinner. She wants her crumbs back. They want to keep Obamacare, but not for them, of course. They're not mere mortals like the rest of us. They are way above us. And we know that they're very clear about impeaching the president. We know they're very clear in open borders. So that's what they want to do. That's what they stand for. You know, it's I'm watching the president last night immediately after our coverage because Fox did cover it. It was a momentous night last night. It was jam-packed. He was on his game. He was funny, as usual, funny. You know, one of the things Democrats are not factoring in is the American people get the president now. It's not like they're not like the media people, the bubble people, in as much as they feign outrage at every single solitary tweet and every word. And they go on, they feign their outrage and bang their tables. And in their bubble, they talk about how horrible this man is. But yet the American people now, it's sort of like you got in on the joke, you know, oh, that's Donald Trump. Yeah, I know he's saying all that stuff, but yeah, it kind of did get little Rocket Man to stop firing missiles over Japan. I didn't think that was going to work, but he calls him little Rocket Man, talks about fire and fury, and talks about his button being bigger than Kim Jong-un's button, and his button works, and lo and behold, missiles stopped being fired over Japan. Missile test sites now are being dismantled. He's talking about denuclearization of the entire peninsula. He's releasing American hostages. And all our media can tell us is, well, Donald Trump gave too much. He gave a photograph with Kim Jong-un. All right, I'll take the missile stop being fired for a photograph. I'll take three Americans for a photograph. I'll take the dismantling of test missile sites for a photograph. He didn't take $150 billion in cash and other currencies and fly it into, you know, little Rocket Man's favorite airport in North Korea and say, here, please be nice. Because we now know that the Iranians that took the $150 billion in bribe money from Obama, well, they're now ratcheting up their nuclear program and they're funding terror and their proxy wars around the world. A lot of good that did. Or Bill Clinton bribing Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il. You know, so, of course, fake news doesn't want to carry the president's speech. You know, for days, along with their friends in the Democratic Party, they've been in a meltdown mode over reports that children are being separated from parents. You know, but lo and behold, they didn't utter a single solitary word when the anointed one was putting kids in cages, separated from parents, and literally prosecuting illegal immigrants to the tune of 500,000. And literally said he doesn't have the ability to change the laws, even if the outcomes of the laws, by the way, are tragic. Oh, so he's saying that Donald Trump didn't have the constitutional ability to do what he did yesterday, which, by the way, most constitutional scholars and legal scholars will tell you that's a fact. It's not in dispute.
With only a kite, a house key, and wet hemp string, Benjamin Franklin captured lightning in a bottle. Over 260 years later, with a little resourcefulness, ingenuity, and grit, we're not only capturing energy from the sun and wind, we're storing it, ensuring Americans have the energy they need whenever they need it. Learn more about the nation's leader in energy storage at NextEraEnergy.com.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. So there's a big battle on the floor of the House yesterday between Mark Meadows and Paul Ryan. I don't know exactly what happened in the conversation. You know, so now they're pushing. They just pulled the bill, and I'm sure this is part of it. They were trying to push an immigration bill. The immigration bill talking point said that they're going to fund the wall up front fully, all $25 billion worth. It also said it's going to end the visa lottery system. It also said it was going to put severe limitations on chain migration. Like, for example, your great-great-great-great-great-great-great aunt that you never really heard of can't get in because you happen to come into the country illegally. And then it would maybe allow parents or that direct relative, and that would limit the scope dramatically. And I don't agree with all of this. I'm just telling you what the facts are. And that in exchange, that after the wall is built, after DACA kids would get their fix, which would be a green card, and then maybe if they stayed out of any criminal activity, et cetera, in 12, 14, 16 years, they might themselves become citizens. This is what the Democrats want. And it would end the problem of separation between children and parents, which we keep hearing so much about. By the way, Melania did a great job down with the kids at the border today. She was phenomenal. Anyway, long story short, Meadows confronts Ryan. Meadows says, gets in his grill, says, I'm done. And it had to do with the fact that Meadows is saying the talking points are not the same as what's in the bill, and that he had actually read the bill. In other words, but this is the same game that, you know, this is what the swamp does. This is what the swamp is. This is what the swamp does. And anyway, so Mark Meadows is rightly furious. I don't blame him one bit. And, you know, saying that's it, we're done. The Freedom Caucus is out. Stop lying to us. Now, this is what people don't understand in the era of Trump. And this is what I think is the perhaps will be a lasting legacy and a transformational moment for politicians. If you mean it and you say it, you better do it. And you better do it the way you say it. But if you're going to come out with cheap talking points that don't represent what you're really doing, and you're going to play those swamp games the way they play swamp games, and they're going to manipulate, lie, and kind of feed the American people disinformation, those days are over. Nobody's going to put up with that crap anymore. And now I want to know, you know, where does Steve Scalise, he wants to be speaker, where does he stand on it? Where's McCarthy stand on it? We know where Jim Jordan stands. Quick break, right back. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Well, Jay Johnson, former Homeland Security Secretary, was reflecting on Obama's efforts to expand the government's capacities to hold families with children in detention over the immigration status. And he says, yes, our policy was controversial. Remember 2014, he says, with the spike of them with families, we did a number of things, including, by the way, working with the government of Mexico, obtaining their cooperation and securing the southern border. A lot of good that did. Mexico's been so helpful. So helpful. And Johnson said in an interview, we also expanded family detention, which was, I freely admit, controversial. We got a lot of heat for it, he said, saying that he made a big deal about it to prove the administration wasn't simply catching and releasing illegal immigrants while they awaited hearings. And then he said that illegal immigration, migration, reacts sharply to perceived changes in enforcement policy in the short term. It reverts back longer term to longer term trends given the underlying conditions of so-called push factors in Central America. So that is what Trump and the administration have seen. Of course, you know, they didn't talk about the fact that, yeah, they put kids in cages without their parents. But the media, your corrupt media, doesn't care. It's how corrupt everybody is. These people are just liars. These people just don't care. You know, truth doesn't matter in politics. It's like the whole idea the Democrats are quietly saying to Maxine Waters, shush, be quiet, shush, don't tell anybody the truth. Stop saying impeach 45. Yeah, we're going to do it, but you got to be quiet about it. Be quiet. What are you doing? You're giving away our secret. So they're basically saying we want to do something that the American people wouldn't want, but we're not going to tell the American people in the election process what they really want to do. Now, the Senate's moving ahead with their immigration bill. It's going to die on the vine. That's not going to work. The House isn't going to reach, you know, because of what
Mark Meadows did yesterday. It looks like chaos there. And, you know, Donald Trump is reassuring supporters, well, he's going to get it done. Well, I don't think Democrats want to get it done. To me, the best explanation and the way to get the money is declaring this for what it is, a national security issue. Because I've been to the drug warehouses. I've been down there 12 times. I've seen floor-to-wall drugs. The stench will knock you on your backside. It is so bad. You know, watch shows like Trade on Showtime or Drugs on Netflix, and they literally trace the entire process of the opioid crisis in America right back into places in Mexico many times where, you know, this, you know, bulk of heroin bags are being made. And then it's being brought across the border. And yet it's targeting small towns and big cities. We all know somebody who has a family member. It's now hit home. Everybody now knows somebody that is dealing with an opioid problem, either themselves or their family member. We all know somebody. And it's happening everywhere. And these cartels are literally targeting, you know, specific demographics for their sales. You watch these shows and these dealers and manufacturers, they all say it. And this is what their hope is. Now, we have an overprescribed society, and that means that you've got more OxyContin and Percocet and Vicodin being, you know, administered than ever before, more prescriptions than ever before. You know, if you want one of these drugs, all you have to do, oh, my back hurts. Oh, it's killing me. And a lot of doctors are going to write you a script because then they're worried they're going to get sued. And by the way, doctors aren't stupid. They know the people that are doing it just because they want the drug. Some doctors won't write it. I know doctors that won't write it. They're like, no. I know doctors, you have surgery. You're not getting more than 3 pain pills to get you over the toughest hump after a surgery. I personally have never tried any one of those pills. Percocet, Vicodin, OxyContin, oxycodone, none of them, because I'm scared to death of them. And all of you should be scared to death of them also. And some of you are going to say, well, Hannity, you need to try a Vicodin and probably make you feel better than you've ever felt in your life. I'm like, all right, I'll stick with vodka. I'll stick with Coors Light. I'm fine. Thank you. Because what happens is these drugs are so insidious. The addiction, I know people that have tried one pain pill, OxyContin, and gotten addicted. And you think, well, maybe. No, these are educated, smart, intelligent, and professional people. Doctors are getting hooked on this crap. Lawyers have gotten hooked on this crap. Wall Street rock stars have gotten hooked on this crap. And the problem is, especially with our kids, is all of a sudden they're, you know, futzing around in the medicine cabinet, maybe granny's medicine cabinet. And they find the pills, they take the pills, they start taking the pills, then they run out of them. Well, then they buy them on the street to get one of these pills, like an OxyContin pill, goes for $80 a pill. And then next thing they know, they're craving that pill. And they don't have $80. Then one of their genius dumb friends, obvious contradiction, is going to say, well, you know, try heroin. Then maybe they'll snort it the first few times. Next thing you know, they're done. They're gone. Their life's done. The recovery rate for opioid addicts in that condition, you switch to the heroin bag, which is only $10 a bag, and don't misinterpret what I'm saying, a stronger high or a greater euphoric feeling, and instead of paying $80 a pill, well, then you're going to start snorting heroin. And then the next thing you know, you're going to be mainlining heroin. And then the next thing you know, you're a full-fledged addict. And overcoming that addiction is brutal. I know people that have done it. I also know people that have done it 15 times. They tried to get clean. Then we all know somebody that died because they couldn't get over it. Then the worst part of it all is, you know, to make the drug seem even stronger than it is they lace it with fentanyl. I don't even know what the hell fentanyl is, to be honest. I just read about it. And apparently it just magnifies the effects of these drugs, and you know, kids are, you know, it's just like when we did the series down in, what's the name of that city? They hate me. Panama City Beach in Florida. They hated me down there. The bar owners hated me. I mean, we'd send Ain Lizzie Earhart down there for years. She was, I remember she was pregnant one year. She's down there with my brother-in-law. And, you know, she's on the beach. And God bless her. We've talked about it on the air. I mean, these girls, would like, they see the cameras, they're pulling the tops up. And we would not air that. Or if we did, I don't know. I'm sure we pixeled it out. You didn't see it. And she, what are you doing? She told them, you know, trying out. But the worst part of that story was they had this group of outsiders that literally would descend on Panama City Beach, knowing all these kids were there. And they came in. God knows who made what drug where. We're not exactly talking about chemists here. They're throwing a bunch of chemicals together and they say, oh, this is Molly or ecstasy. And then these kids are ODing and some are dying. I mean, it's just horrible. And the kids are so stupid at the age of, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21. I mean, in all honesty, boys are, they only have half their brain forms at that age. It's not till 25. But, you know, they just, they're taking crap. They have no idea where it came from. And it's an epidemic. And, you know, so anyway, fixing the immigration problem, we could do it for that reason. We could also do it because somebody, maybe a family, wants a job in America and a better life in America, which I understand because I've been down there 13 times. I remember on the border in San Diego at a particular point saying, okay, if you look over here, you see kids that were literally playing in what any of us would describe as a junkyard, tires and everything. And then on the other side, you have $500,000 homes and a big fence wall. I think in that case, it was a fence that separated the two. So, you know, we could do it for that reason. Or if somebody wants to cross the border because they want a job, an opportunity, and a better life for their family, I understand it. If you're living on that side of the fence, you want to be on the other side of the fence. And so people are risking their lives. That's why they literally go through the risk of paying these quote, coyotes and guides. Really, they're just human traffickers to walk them through the desert into the United States. And by the way, they don't care if you fall over and drop dead in the process. They give up every penny they have, and then they get caught. They'll never see that guy again. And if they do see him, they're too intimidated to say anything to them. What are you going to say? Because lawlessness is pretty commonplace, unfortunately. One of the problems is Mexico never cleans up their own corruption. And all these drug cartels have such power that no politician dare take them on because they're going to get assassinated, which happens a lot. So it's a bit, but if we put the wall up, guess what? They're not going to be coming across the border like they are now. And we can put a door in. I'm all for the door. I'm all for immigration that's legal. But we have every right to vet you to make sure that you're a good person, that you don't want to bring us harm, that you have the means to take care of yourself and your family, and that, you know, we're not going to have to be, in the end, responsible for your health care and for your housing and your dental and your daycare and anything else you need. You got to be able to, you need to be able to take care of yourself. American people, you know what? The burdens on them are too high as it is. You know, yesterday, I think we're the only show on radio or TV that talked to, you know, angel moms, the moms that lost their kids, that were murdered by illegal immigrants. Why isn't that part of this debate? Everyone's talking about separation, parents and kids. Well, there's the ultimate separation. And there are a lot of them, as you heard yesterday on the program. Well, we never talk about, you know, I sat there in a briefing, 642,000 crimes committed against Texans alone in a seven-year period. That was the very briefing Barack Obama was supposed to go to and didn't bother showing up at. And if anybody thinks yesterday's executive order on family separations means the president is ending, the president's not ending his zero tolerance on immigration. You know, I love how the prime minister of Canada is just like, you know, the Mexican president's been lecturing us on what our policies need to be. What's going on in the United States is wrong. I can't imagine what families living through this are enduring, he said. No way we do. This is not the way we do things in Canada. Well, actually, that's exactly the way they do things in Canada, because Trudeau's government is pretty much the exact same policy as we do. And the country with the worst policy and the worst treatment of immigrants is Mexico. They put you in jail or they send you home. There's no trial. There's no, you know, worries about separation. And we're getting lectured by people that are absolute hypocrites on this. I showed you the pictures on TV. I'll show them again tonight. Horrifying photos of Obama's illegal immigrant facilities, or the 500,000 immigrants prosecuted under Obama, you know, or, you know, DACA, Dreamers, you know, will put up the crimes that they've been committed. The very people that everyone says we need to show the most compassion for. Do we ever think about the American people, or is that too, patriotic? Flag wavers like Sean Hannity. Remember that guy after 9/11? Maybe it goes on TV, flag wavers like Sean Hannity. Yeah, I'm proud of my country. I love my country. Guilty as charged. So I can't stand all the corruption we see going on. And not one Democrat, nobody in the media gave a rip about children being held in chain link fenced small rooms under Obama. Now it's what? Now it's, oh, it's a political midterm election year. Now it matters only because Donald Trump is doing the same thing Obama did. And none of these media people have focused in on the biggest corruption scandal in our history. And that is a group of highly powerful people rigging an investigation that should have indicted Hillary Clinton. And then they turn their sights on Donald Trump and destroying him. That's a big story. You would think they want to cover it. No, they've passed on the biggest story in their lifetime. Because nor do they want to talk about the economy. Nor do they want to tell the facts about the president's success with Little Rocket Man. All right, as we roll along. All right, a lot to get to today. Newt Gingrich is going to weigh in on this immigration hypocrisy. And, yeah, there's a big battle. There's going to be contempt charges brought by the House chairman, Nunes, Goodlatte, and Gowdy against Rod Rosenstein and the DOJ. And then after that, they're going to impeach Rosenstein. Why? Because he's not literally complying with congressional subpoenas. Which, by the way, if you ever did that, well, I hope you like orange jumpsuits and particular haircuts and handcuffs. Because if you do, that's what would happen to us.
Mr. Horowitz, I want to come back to something we talked about earlier, the disclosure of FBI Attorney 1 and FBI Attorney 2. And you said, I think I'm correct, that they did not want that divulged because they actually worked in counterintelligence. Is that correct?
That's what we were told by the FBI.
Okay, but you know who the people are.
Correct.
And I would say, based on your report, I know who they are. Mm-hmm. And what I guess I'm concerned about is, you know, that they don't work for the counterintelligence division.
Well, two of the agents do.
Agent, I'm talking about attorneys.
There's one lawyer who's in here. So it's there are five people total.
Right.
Paige Strook, two other agents.
But you had a dialogue between FBI Attorney 1 and 2.
Correct.
And those two attorneys, do they not work for Trish Anderson?
Those two attorneys work in the Office of General Counsel.
Yeah, and so would one of those attorneys be Sally Moyer?
I'm going to defer to what the FBI.
But they don't work in counterintelligence. I mean, if that's the reason the FBI is giving, they're giving you false information because they work for the General Counsel.
They were talking
about. Is the other one Kevin Kleinsmith?
They were talking about the other attorney there that we have their text messages in here that they were concerned about, along with the other two.
What we're continuing to find, Buck, is this, is additional information from DOJ and FBI that has literally been hidden from Congress's oversight role. for 9 months. And so we're at the point where the frustration has reached a level that we've got to deal with it. So issuing subpoenas to compel people to come in and testify, some of them who really, I think, want to testify, want to make sure that we clean this up, will be actually forthcoming in days, where we'll get them to come in. And it's all about evidence. It's about making sure that, you know, you, Crystal, and you, Buck, you get the same justice that anybody else that has big dollars or well connection, because, you know, justice should be meted out evenly. And yet we're finding that evidence could have been tampered.
You know, I was watching when Crooked Hillary made, and by the way, is it, hey, excuse me, have you been watching what's been going on with the Inspector General's report? What a scam this whole thing is. Okay. How guilty is she? With Peter Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. I don't think their wife and husband are too happy about that. What do you think? What do you think? I don't think so. No, but have you been seeing this whole scam? Have you been? Do you believe what you're seeing? How, no matter what she did, no matter how many crimes she committed, which were numerous, they wanted her to be innocent. With me, nothing. No collusion, no nothing. And they just wanted to take all of us. They wanted to put us in trouble. And it's not working too well, I'll tell you. Disgusting. Called the phony witch hunt. Phony witch hunt. So we've created 3.4 million new jobs since Election Day. 3.4. And I've said before, if I would have said that to you during the campaign, those very dishonest people back there, the fake news, very dishonest, they would have said he's exaggerating. These are very dishonest people, many of them, and we have some fine people, too, doing that. But there's a lot of very dishonest people. But the media never talks about the American victims of illegal immigration. I know them well. I know so many of them. I campaigned with them. What's happened to their children? What's happened to their husbands? What's happened to their wives? The media doesn't talk about the American families permanently separated from their loved ones because Democrat policies released violent criminals into our communities. We need safety. We need safety. They don't bring cameras to interview the angel moms whose children were killed by criminal aliens who should have never been here in the first place, not even close. They don't want to talk to the angel moms. But as your president, I will always fight to protect American families.
You know, amazing rally last night from every single point of view. Anyway, joining us now, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. You know what Tammy Bruce said after that rally last night? And you can see it. The president loves the people of this country. The president, the enemies of the president are all the swamp creatures. You know, Republican and Democrat. And apparently FBI people, too. But it's amazing the connection that he has with them. And it's like the American people have now gotten used to his rhythm, his tone, his cadence, his tweets, his controversies. And all the feigned outrage in the world is not going to impact their view of him.
Well, I think that's right. Remember, last night is in Duluth, Minnesota, which 25 years ago was hardcore Democratic territory.
Mm-hmm.
And here he has 9,000 people showing up in a place where no other Republican, maybe Reagan at his very peak could have come close, but no other Republican can get that size crowd and that level of enthusiasm. You know, it tells you that Trump has intuited something profound about where the American people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you this, and I'm watching this whole immigration thing unfold here, and you know, I went through a very long monologue about this last night, and the most outrageous part of it is that this was not the president's law. This is the law that he fixed. Obama said that no president has the constitutional authority to do what Donald Trump did yesterday, and I would argue it's never going to hold up in court, so it's a temporary fix. Congress is going to have to act. But Congress passed this law. Another president signed this into law. And a president doesn't have the right to pick and choose what laws he wants to enforce or go along with. He does has no choice if we're going to follow the Constitution.
Well, I do think there's one additional thing they should do, and that is file an appeal to the Supreme Court on the grounds that Americans are being endangered. But remember, this is all the act of one judge. And I think we ought to get in the habit of pushing hard when one judge is a cuckoo and not just automatically saying, oh, this is a court decision.
Well, you know what they're going to do. They go judge shopping.
No, but I said they should. Right. So we should get the automatic habit of taking it straight to the Supreme Court and saying you should suspend this decision on the grounds that it's threatening the lives of Americans.
To me, it's a national security issue. You know, there was a big fight yesterday with Ryan and Meadows on the House floor. And I know what the fight was about because I talked to people that heard it. And it was about basically Meadows calling out Ryan saying, your talking points do not match what's in this bill. And he said, I'm done. I'm done with all of this. And how often does the swamp pull that trick on us?
Well, it's constant. I mean, you have the Democrats on their side, by the way, did the same thing. They introduced a bill and got every single Democrat in the Senate to sign up to it. And when you actually look at the bill, it would provide open access for 80% of the country to virtually anybody who wanted to come into the U.S. It basically takes down every border we have. And I think that the Democrats who were in states that Trump carried are going to find it almost impossible to go home and defend why they would co-sponsor a bill that would open up the whole country to illegal immigration.
You know, it's a really scary time. Andy McCarthy's on at the bottom of this half hour, and I like Andy a lot. Andy has written some amazing pieces about the IG report and about the Mueller investigation. And the headline of his piece is the IG report should end Mueller's obstruction investigation. But I would argue that now that we know that we had all of the lead investigators in the case investigating Clinton that literally protected her from being indicted. I mean, the laws were broken. There's no ambiguity here. The facts are the facts. It's irrefutable. Then they immediately begin the process of the Russia investigation. Now, legally, to me, that would render the entire investigation illegitimate from the get-go.
Oh, I think that's right. In fact, I think it ought to render every single indictment Mueller has brought as poison fruit. This investigation should never have occurred. The people who launched it were totally prejudiced, and clearly so. It's impossible to read their comments and reach any conclusion except that they were deep, bitter anti-Trump, pro-Clinton people, and also raised the question of reopening the Clinton investigation. I mean, there's no question that Clinton and her closest aides broke a whole series of federal laws, and in any kind of honest process, she would never have been the Democratic nominee because she would have been indicted.
Mm-hmm. It really, you know, why is she not now being fully investigated now that we know
She should be.
I asked you that the other night. No. Don't be sorry, because I asked you the other night. You said the same thing. And I'm like, nobody's talking about it, I guess, except me and, you know, you.
Well, I feel very strongly that Attorney General Sessions has no excuse anymore to recuse himself. This report totally eliminates that excuse. He should take control of the Justice Department, and he should aggressively go after people who've broken the law. And that means going after Hillary Clinton and most of her key people. In my mind, I mean, I don't see how any reasonable person could believe that if somebody's using a hammer to break up smartphones and is using bleach bit to destroy the hard drives, that they aren't breaking the law. I mean, this stuff, you know, this is the kind of stuff you wouldn't write in a novel because it's too crazy.
You know, I love your new book, by the way, and I'm very proud of you because it's another runaway huge success. And it just came out last week, and it's a New York Times bestseller already, Trump's America, The Truth About Our Nation's Great Comeback. Number one, you do something that I think I'm the only one else in the media that's done, and that's tell the truth about the president's success, which is the most undertold story in politics today because it's a transformation. And number two, then you go through in the second part of this book and you give warnings, challenges, admonitions to the president.
And these are real threats to his presidency. The fake news media. Did you hear it last night, them chanting CNN sucks, the crowd, how loud it was?
No, I heard them chanting Space Force, but I did not hear him chanting that.
No, well, I just played it. You missed it. Well, let me play it again for the speaker so he can hear this.
Play it for me. I need to hear this.
Okay.
So we've created 3.4 million new jobs since Election Day. 3.4. And I've said before, if I would have said that to you during the campaign, those very dishonest people back there, the fake news, very dishonest, they would have said he's exaggerating.
By the way, we're not amplifying the sound, sir.
That's amazing. Well, I have to tell you, one of my conclusions, having had a chance now to live in Europe for a while, is that we don't need to worry about the Russian propaganda program. CNN does more to cripple America and more to communicate a negative, hostile view of America than anything that our opponents are doing. I mean, it is astonishing to talk to people whose primary source of information internationally is CNN, and the totally dishonest view they get. It's someday someone's going to write an expose and walk through. I don't know what was in their minds, but they clearly went off the deep end and have become a culture that is just amazingly destructive.
We're going to take a quick break. More comments and observations. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, his New York Times bestseller. It's on bookstores, in bookstores now, on Hannity.com, Amazon.com. It's a great book, Trump's America, The Truth About Our Nation's Great Comeback. Oh, finally, some good news. What do we do as it relates to the president and immigration bill that apparently the Senate doesn't want to deal with? How does he get the wall funding up front? How does he get that money? I would argue he could probably get it through national security means.
Well, he could do that. But I think also he could go to the mat. First of all, if they can't pass a comprehensive bill this afternoon, I certainly hope they're going to come back with a very narrow bill that solves specifically the problem of separating children and does so in terms that still protect the border. And then send it from the House to the Senate and let the president and Schumer fight for 2 or 3 weeks over why Schumer cares more about politics than he does about children. I think the Democrats will crumble. I think that in the red states, the Democrats are in bad shape on this issue. And we should not allow the elite news media to panic us into any other belief. I think in terms of spending, they've got to get the defense bill through. And I think that's very important. And if they get the defense appropriations bill through, they can then go to the wall on a continuing resolution and say, look, if it doesn't include a money for the wall, it ain't getting signed.
Yeah.
Period. And then he's got to be willing to go to the country and make the case. And I think he's been getting more and more effective at making this case. I mean, we're talking about genuinely bad people who are doing genuinely bad things.
Nobody ever talks about the angel moms. We interview them. I know them by name. I mean, I'm friends with them. They lost their kids. Nobody ever talks about that separation.
There was a very excruciating article the other day by one of them who wrote and said, I understand the pain of child separation, and then talked about it for a while. You're right. I mean, the elite media is so dishonest and so one-sided that I think it just has, you have to take it head on day after day after day. And the truth is, we're winning. I mean, if you look at
the president going directly to the American people is a huge, well, I won't say weapon, but it's a huge antidote, if you will, to the corrupt media. All right, so where do people go to find you on your book tour, by the way?
Okay. Well, we're going to be back doing some more things. I'm actually calling you from the airport because I have to go and be with the ambassador for a little while.
Yeah, your life's so hard. Mr. Speaker, thank you.
One thing you can always count on. Sean Hannity is back on the radio.
Mr. Horowitz, I want to come back to something we talked about earlier, the disclosure of FBI Attorney 1 and FBI Attorney 2. You said, I think I'm correct, that they did not want that divulged because they actually worked in counterintelligence. Is that correct?
That's what we were told by the FBI.
Okay, but you know who the people are.
Correct.
And I would say, based on your report, I know who they are. Mm-hmm. And what I guess I'm concerned about is, you know, that they don't work for the counterintelligence division.
Well, two of the agents do.
Agent, I'm talking about attorneys.
There's one lawyer who's in here. So it's there are five people total.
Right.
Paige Strook, two other agents.
But you had a dialogue between FBI Attorney 1 and 2.
Correct.
And those two attorneys, do they not work for Trish Anderson?
Those two attorneys work in the Office of General Counsel.
Yeah, and so would one of those attorneys be Sally Moyer?
I'm going to defer to what the FBI.
But they don't work in counterintelligence. I mean, if that's the reason the FBI is giving, they're giving you false information because they work for the General Counsel.
They were talking
about. Is the other one Kevin Kleinsmith?
They were talking about the other attorney there that we have their text messages in here that they were concerned about, along with the other two.
The other thing that I would ask you to look into, there is growing evidence that 302s were edited and changed. And it gets back to what Ms. Handel said in terms of those particular interview sessions. And those 302s, it is suggested that they were changed to either prosecute or not prosecute individuals. Mm-hmm. And that is very troubling. And I yield back, Mr. Chairman.
And if I could just mention, we have been getting those kind of referrals, and as often happens when we issue reports like this, we get other information coming to us, and we are intending to follow up on that.
What we're continuing to find, Buck, is this, is additional information from DOJ and FBI that has literally been hidden from Congress's oversight role for 9 months. And so we're at the point where the frustration has reached a level that we've got to deal with it. So you know, issuing subpoenas to compel people to come in and testify, some of them who really, I think, want to testify, want to make sure that we clean this up, will be actually forthcoming in days, where we'll get them to come in. And it's all about evidence. It's about making sure that, you know, you, Crystal, and you, Buck, you get the same justice than anybody else that has big dollars or well connection, because, you know, justice should be meted out evenly. And yet we're finding that evidence could have been tampered.
All right. That's Congressman Mark Meadows, the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, in an interview that he did with The Hill. The altering of 302s, I have now been hearing widespread speculation that documents exist that would prove that, and meaning that is the accounts of FBI agents during interviews that they have with witnesses or any other people involved with things. Andy McCarthy at National Review Online has a couple of great columns out about the IG report. The IG report should end Mueller's obstruction investigation and the Clinton emails, what the IG report refuses to admit. And Andy McCarthy, now a Fox News contributor and a columnist for National Review Online, joins us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. Now, but before we get to your columns, let's go to what Mark Meadows was asking Michael Horowitz. If these individuals, unidentified FBI lawyers mentioned in the IG report, whether or not they are counterintelligence, and Michael Horowitz saying he's looking into whether 302 forms were edited, and says subpoenas in the Russian probe are forthcoming in days because of the obstruction by the Department of Justice. I want you to weigh in on all those three big issues here.
You know, Sean, I, the way you describe this and the way Congressman Meadows does, it makes you think that the historic way the FBI has done its reports, really since the very beginning of the FBI, may have to change. Just so listeners know how this process works, when somebody gets interviewed by the FBI, you have an agent in the room who's taking notes. And I always insisted that it be one agent taking notes, because you don't want even two people trying hard to get it right, if they're taking notes of the same event, are going to have slight differences, which creates problems. But what they do is they write notes as the interview takes place, and then they sit down and they type out what's called a 302 report, which is the Bureau's standard report. And it really gives them a chance to tee up what the report brought out in a systematic, coherent way. So in that sense, it's good. But it's also an opportunity for mischief. You know, if you record an interview, you have a kind of an unimpeachable way or recording or showing of how it came out and exactly what the person said, and there's no issues as far as that goes. It creates some legal problems at trial, but, you know, the thing is, at least you have something that's recorded that can't be doubted. When they write these reports, and it sounds like they play games with the reports, and then you hear things like, you know, General Flynn, the agents who interview him think that he's telling the truth, and then months later, when the special counsel's lawyers come in, they decide that he's not telling the truth on the basis of the same information. You have to really ask yourself whether this is really the way they ought to be doing their work.
Well, let me just ask a question in regards to that, because, yeah, you're right. We're talking about Strzok and Comey both saying that they didn't think that Flynn lied, but in the way things often work, which I kind of have a problem with, and I think we might have a slight disagreement on this, is that, well, when they offer deals to people, I mean, this is a guy now that has had to sell his house. This is the thanks right. You get for 30 years of service to your country and putting your life on the line for the country. You know, they say, well, you know, you had a business and you had dealings with foreign countries and your son's involved in that business, and we're going to have to investigate your son unless you agree to this. Why do I suspect that that's probably what happened? And that frustrates me, because at that point, there's not a father in America that's not going to dive on the sword and take the hit for his child.
No, me included. And I don't think we have a disagreement on that in this way. I think, having been involved in this for 20 years, in the vast, vast majority of plea bargaining cases, that kind of nonsense doesn't go on, because there's just, you know, these cases are not, you know, there's not sexy defendants. No prosecutor thinks they're going to make their career on some case. And most of the time, the plea bargaining system works fairly well. If it didn't, we don't have enough resources to try all these cases, so the system would break down. The problem is when you get very ambitious prosecutors and very sexy, high-profile defendants, that's where you see these kinds of shenanigans. And power can be abused if you have people who are not fit to wield it, and if they wield it in the way that you've just described, that's an abuse of power, and everybody ought to be able to agree with that.
You know, let me just go a step further with this, because I think the last time you were on this program, I didn't ask you about it, but I agree. You can't try every case. Plea bargaining is part of the process. I don't have a problem with it in any way, because in the end, we probably save taxpayers a lot of money. If you had to go to court on every single solitary case, it would be an impossibility. But I do have a problem sometimes. Like, look at Judge Ellis's comments as it relates to Paul Manafort. I mean, they're dredging up a 2005 tax case with the Ukraine, has nothing to do with Russia. And as Judge Ellis said, I mean, I'm sure that case had been resolved. And they just dragged it up for the very purpose of putting the screws to Manafort in the hopes that he would sing, or, as the judge said, perhaps compose, which I interpreted to be suborning perjury and basically saying whatever you want to get out of jail free. And now Paul Manafort, and for the purpose of prosecuting or slash impeaching Donald Trump, that's what the judge said. Now Paul Manafort is in solitary confinement. He hasn't been found guilty of anything. And I'm sure that the hope there is that he'll say whatever they want. In my mind, I'm not so sure, knowing the human condition as we know it and people's desire for self-preservation. You know, well, you're facing 30 years in jail unless you say this. And they get led into saying things that they know aren't true. That's a problem.
Yeah. Sean, look, if you're going to have a dishonorable prosecutor, then you have to watch every single move they make on the chessboard. It's not the way they squeeze. It's not just the way they squeeze people who the law gives them the ability to hold prior to trial. It's virtually everything they do. If you're going to play that kind of hardball, and we know that there are people who are involved on Mueller's staff who have that reputation for not only squeezing people in very arbitrary ways, but also holding back on information that ought to be disclosed to the court. And I think
withholding exculpatory evidence, not once but twice. I don't know many people that lose in the Supreme Court 9-0, do you?
No, there's not.
Sending Merrill executives to jail for a year. Now, people may not like Wall Street guys. I'm not particularly fond of Wall Street myself. But four guys going to jail, and that's overturned by the Fifth Circuit. That's a year of their life stolen from them.
Yeah, and it's a company that employed a lot of people, like got put out of work, through no fault of the people who worked there. But, you know, look, I can tell you as a prosecutor, and I think I could speak to the majority, I hope the vast majority of prosecutors, there's nothing more advantageous to the government and more important to you than your reputation with the court. And the reason for that is, among other things, if you lose the reputation, if you develop the reputation for being one of these guys who practices in a really sharp and sometimes deceptive way, then you have to be watched with everything you do, because we invest and endow in these executive officials the most power we give to anyone.
If you were appointed by Mueller, I would give this entire investigation a dramatic degree of credibility, because I know you and I know your work over the years, and I think you're an honorable man. But when somebody like Andrew Weissman is hired, and he's the individual we're talking about, he's supposed to be, according to the New York Times, the pit bull of Robert Mueller, and he's hired, and he's the guy that lost to the Supreme Court. He put innocent people in jail. Tens of thousands of people lost his job, and he's been twice, I think, excoriated by judges for withholding exculpatory evidence. Or he appoints someone like Jeannie Rae, who once represented the Clinton Foundation. I'm sorry, but why did Robert Mueller pick them? And why should anybody trust the special counsel having picked those specific people? He chose them.
Sean, I think this is a big problem. You know, from time to time, people are very nice. I appreciate what you just said. I've heard other people have said similarly nice things. And they say, you know, you should be the special counsel. And what I tell people or work for the special counsel, whatever. And what I tell them is, I'd be like the least well qualified, even though I think I would do a very good job. I would not be a good person to be on this, because I have an opinion and I've weighed in on this and I've said the way I thought it should go. And people, the public's entitled to think that the prosecutors handling this case don't have an axe to grind, and that no matter who is on it, that what we're going to get to the bottom of is the truth, not somebody's spin on the truth. And for that reason, I don't understand why Weissman and these other people agreed to be on the case.
And then you add to that three FBI agents and investigators appointed by Mueller were the biggest Trump haters around. And as we continue, Andy McCarthy, Fox News contributor and a writer, columnist for National Review Online. Just following up on our last discussion, I think it dovetails into your column that the IG report should end Mueller's obstruction investigation. When you have a team of people that Mueller appoints, they're all Democratic donors. The horrific ethical background of Andrew Weissman. Jeannie Rae is obviously conflicted. Three FBI agents, known Trump haters, were at the beginnings of this investigation. I think the obstruction part of it should end, but I think all of it should end.
Yeah, well, you know, Sean, we're made up of we're a country of Republicans and Democrats, other than the people who are independent. So the fact that they're Democrats and even Democrat donors, I think, is alarming. But what really bothers me about it is that they were, for the most part, officials in the Obama Justice Department when it was conducting not only the Hillary investigation, but as we now know, the infamous Crossfire Hurricane. And I think what Mueller obviously should have done here, Mueller shouldn't have been appointed in the first place because there wasn't a criminal investigation at the time that he was appointed. But if you grant that you're going to have a special counsel, he should have taken people who were completely out of the government and who were not identifiable with the Democratic Party and not identifiable with Trump either. There's a zillion federal prosecutors or former federal prosecutors you could find who aren't particularly political and who would have done a very professional, very fine job on this. And Mueller did this with his eyes open. I do not understand it. He absolutely knew what he was doing here.
Andy, we really appreciate your insight. And by the way, welcome to the Fox family. Well deserved, and we're glad to have you on board, sir.
Glad to be with you, Sean. Thanks so much.
All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Our news roundup, information overload hours coming up next. A big fight is about to emerge between Jonathan Gillum and Danielle McLaughlin. That's straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Donald Trump, without a doubt, is pure evil. When you played the tapes of what was heard a couple of days ago in the centers, it's horrific. How can people do that? That hasn't happened in this country since the time of slavery. It hasn't happened in the world since the time of the Nazis. And Donald Trump is right there with them.
This is as if George Wallace had won in 1968. The one through line here from Charlottesville to this issue is, to use your phrase, a return to the most disturbing elements of white supremacy, white male supremacy, to be precise, in the national character.
Overnight, they've now created criminals. So people are trying to understand what's happening here. That's what happened. And you know what? Elie Wiesel, may he rest in peace, what he said to me was, he said, you know, the Nazis had it perfectly correct. They declared us an illegal people. That's how it began.
I don't want little children ripped from their parents' arms. I don't want them marched off to, quote, showers.
When you look at this historically throughout American history, no matter the policy you're talking about, the separation of families has always been something that speaks to a level of inhumanity. You go back to slavery.
That's more of the insanity that has been ensuing over the immigration debate, in spite of the fact, yeah, the president actually fixed the problem that Congress created and past administrations had signed on to that Barack Obama wouldn't deal with, because Obama, we now know and showed you all the pictures last night, he had kids separated from their parents in cages and deported. And by the way, 500,000 of them were prosecuted. You know, facts matter. I know the rest of the media doesn't really seem to care too much about it. But now we have Barron Trump being threatened by Peter Fonda. Basically a call for stripping and raping our, you know, Secretary Nielsen. And there was a real credible death threat against the president of the United States. This rhetoric is beyond out of control. In that particular case, Secretary Nielsen run out of a restaurant. The restaurant owner, by the way, is fine with that. And apparently one of the individuals involved in that mess was a DOJ employee. Really? Okay. What does that person do with the DOJ? As if we don't have enough problems at the Department of Justice. Joining us now, News Roundup Information Overload, Jonathan Gillum, author of the newly released book Sheep No More, Danielle McLaughlin, attorney, constitutional expert. Thank you both for being with us. You might as well get the friendly out of the way, because this is what I'll ask Danielle a hostile question, and she'll go, "Hi, Sean. It's so great to see you."
But it is always so great to see you, Sean. How you doing? Jonathan, my friend.
It is a weapon you use to disarm both me and Jonathan.
You better believe it, my friend. Two against one every week. I can take it.
I'm just going to talk like Sean Connery from now on.
Exactly.
You never knew we were among you until
now. You look a bit
like
Sean Connery, actually.
That's really good. I'm very impressed, Mr. Gillum.
Danielle has the manners of a goat, and you smell like a dung heap.
That's actually true, guys. Anyone listening out there, you can't smell me, but it's not pretty.
All right, we're going to play. Okay. Why do we always talk about the Corleone crime family and the Trump crime family? When are we going to talk about the Clinton crime family?
I feel like we talk about the Clinton crime family every single week, so it's really a joy to be talking about immigration. As an immigrant myself, as you may have noticed from this accent of mine.
Did you come into the country legally?
I did, Sean, I did.
You did, but totally legally?
Yeah, totally legally.
Do you believe that America is a sovereign country?
Of course I do. This is the cross-examination, by the way.
Should our sovereignty be respected?
No, absolutely.
Should our laws be respected?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, did Donald Trump have anything to do with Congress's law that
if enforced, separates children from parents.
No, but what he did do is make Jeff Sessions, well, he allowed Jeff Sessions to enact, if he's responsible for the job numbers, if he's responsible for everything that's going on in the DOJ that people like, then he's responsible for the bad stuff.
He is the president.
He
can't stand the DOJ, and he's made it very clear how he feels about the DOJ. But that's not the point. He fixed the problem. Donald Trump fixed the mess that he inherited, bad laws he inherited, and you know what? It's Barack Obama that said over and over again, even if the consequences are tragic and severe, my job is to enforce the laws that Congress passed. So constitutionally, I would guess that this order of the president yesterday would last maybe 3 minutes before a judge, before getting thrown out. And the real responsibility constitutionally is on Congress and on the president to pass a law and sign a law. Isn't
that true? Absolutely. Ultimately, this has to be a result that comes through Congress. We have had wars over immigration between the left and right for years. Last time we got close was 2013, the Gang of Eight. We didn't get it under Obama. But what I will say as it relates to children separated from their families is this was a policy of zero tolerance at the border. They arrested every single person. There is discretion in every part of law. And you were speaking with that with your last guest. Not every crime gets prosecuted. Not every person who could get a maximum sentence gets a maximum sentence. There is discretion in the law. You have to approach this with head, with heart. I'm not saying that Obama did a good job. I've written about what a terrible job he did.
Okay, but Obama was very clear that constitutionally, Jonathan, he didn't have the power to do it. I've got 22 separate occasions of Obama saying such.
Right, but it didn't stop him from maneuvering to change certain policies. And the reality is we're looking at two different things here. We're looking at policy that exists within the agencies, and then we're looking at laws that are created by Congress. And when the president gets in there and starts trying to maneuver things with Obama, what you saw was that he could make changes. It's something we have to look at very importantly, is that Obama could make changes because, as I talked about when I hosted for you on Friday, Sean, the SES, the Senior Executive Service in the government, not just the FBI or the DOJ, but across the board, is a dangerous entity because they have no overwatch. So I had somebody write me that used to be with DHS and worked in immigration and said that they had an SESer that under one of the secretaries that passed down, they said they wanted this done and the SESer didn't want it. So they just sat on it for 2 years. And then that secretary was gone and a new one came in, and then he held whatever political stance that he had and they didn't change it. So that's what happens a lot of the times, is that either politicians are getting in the way and they're maneuvering same way with the FBI in these investigations. They use their SES, the Senior Executive Service, or the people that agree with them that are on the ground to do these things. And what I see here happening and all the things that just got listed is these people are coming over illegally. So you do have to detain 100% of them when they come over illegally, and pretty much anybody that's coming over that's caught is going to be arrested and then detained for a period of time to see if they have any type of crimes, or if they've come through across the border multiple times, so they can be detained. And what I don't understand, or I understand, but what infuriates me are people like Joe Scarborough or Peter Fonda and Robert De Niro, who need to, like the Three Stooges, be poked in the eye and banged their heads against each other. These people are, and these people that go to this restaurant and do these things are doing a disservice because they are spinning up statistics that they don't even know are true or not. There's no way to measure the majority of these things. And the policies themselves would be so simple to be fixed if people just wanted to do it.
No, I don't disagree. I think there's another really important thing. I agree with you, Jonathan. One thing I think that's really important is that we talk a lot about the southern border, right? Yeah. In early 2000s, we had about 1.6 million arrests under George W. Bush. That is now down to about 300,000. This is on an annual basis. You know where the biggest problem we have with the border? It's not at the southern border. It's visa overstayers. We have about 700,000 people per year. That's a 2017 statistic. So one of my questions, and I think you have to hold a lot of thoughts in your head at the same time when you're thinking about immigration. Yes, there are gangs. Yes, there is MS-13. Yeah, there are people who are escaping crime and poverty, and they should at least get the chance to have asylum. We have limited resources. We have to show discretion. We have limited facilities to house people. But we also know that the real problem is actually at training. train stations and at airports and people who come here legally, and then they stay and they stay and they
stay. Well, I wouldn't say that is a problem, but it's a different problem. You know, every drug case I ever worked on in the FBI that eventually led to the Mexican or Canadian border. And in Mexico, for instance, they have factories that produce barrels. Like they ship in oil, they're shipping in barrels of methamphetamine, cocaine, and they do this a lot of the times using illegals to push this through. Sure. They give it to families. It's no different when you go over to Iraq or Afghanistan and they put a child in front of somebody that holds an RPG. Well, they do the same thing. They put drugs on families and they march them through and they have kids. And then what's crazy about this is that statistic never seems to work its way out. Yet the statistic that a kid was taken away from that family is milked in, and now you have these numbers. And there's really no way that we, not that it couldn't be measured, but the fact that politics muck up these things so much that it's hard to measure these statistics.
No, don't disagree. I do know that there's an enormous amount of contraband that comes through the border. A lot of it comes through legal ports of entry. So this is a part of the discussion that we have about the wall. Do we spend $30 billion to build it?
Why not?
Yeah. Well,
Walls work.
Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Oh, excuse me. I can't think of an example where it didn't work. Can you?
We are $1.5 trillion in
Why don't people build fences around their house?
If Sloan Kettering built a wall around it that you couldn't get there to get taken care of, that would be a problem. But building one on our border to keep out.
By the way, you know who you need to ask if walls work? Prime Minister Netanyahu. Yeah. And it works really well for Israel. And if we're talking about, 500 miles of walls, then you add drones and other, more manpower, then we're going to prevent anybody from attempting to cross the border. And guess what? We're not going to have a separation issue anymore, and we're not going to have as big a drug problem anymore, all the drugs that cross that border.
Well, a lot of the drugs come through legal ports of entry, so a wall will not fix that.
Excuse me, I have been down to that border and in the drug warehouses, and I have seen wall to ceiling nothing but drugs coming from Mexico, and a lot of it crosses the border. So, and by the way, I was there when a gang member was arrested.
Yeah.
So build the wall, and you could put a nice door in it and maybe make it gold and put Trump on the front of it. I think
it's a terrible idea. I think we should have drones. I think we should have increased security.
Okay,
but I think it's a big white elephant waste of time.
You know, but you're still then going to have separation of children.
No, those two things are completely separate issues. Yes, they are.
Okay, but you can't assure the American people's safety and security unless you build the wall.
Well, what are you going to do about airports? What are you going to do about visa overstayers? What are you going to do about the 9/11 hijackers who came here on visas and blew up those towers?
There's a million different ways to deal with all of them. Just because we didn't fix the wall problem doesn't mean we can't fix those problems. We could actually walk and chew gum.
We can build
a wall and fix the visa overstay problem all at the same time.
The visa overstayer is twice as big as the problem we have on the southern border,
right,
and nobody's talking about it.
And as we continue, Danielle McLaughlin and Jonathan Gillum and this debate about immigration, the president's offered your liberal friends, Danielle, a pretty good deal. They're going to get DACA and a DACA fix. They're going to get also the end of any problem of separation between parents and their children, which nobody wants them separated. They're going to get all of that in exchange for his big campaign promise, which is the wall and ending a visa lottery system, and go more towards an Australian or New Zealand method of merit-based immigration. And then the chain migration issue's got to go away as well. You can't, just because you came in and got in illegally doesn't mean that your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-aunt can get in as well, which is pretty much the system now.
Well, that's not exactly
why is that a bad deal? Tell me why that's not a good deal for Democrats.
I think that the real sticking point for Democrats is the wall, honestly. I think it's a symbol to their base. And remember, we know that Trump has a base, but the Democrats have a base as well, and they believe in border security.
They care more about Donald Trump getting a win on the wall than they do about DACA children.
That's not true, and he is the one that ended DACA.
Why don't they sign the deal?
Well, because let's get our facts right. He ended DACA.
No, my facts are right.
He undid DACA. There was something that President Obama created because he was concerned about these people who'd come in.
No.
He tried to find a path.
The Democrats don't want an answer, Jonathan,
and
if they want to make it a political issue for 2018, just like every 2-4 years, Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, and they want to poison the air, water, kill children, and throw granny over the cliff. That's what they basically run on every 2 years.
Yeah, and when you look at what President Trump says about why he wants to do these things with the wall, it is a realistic concept. It's a patriotic concept. It's about protecting the country. You don't hear that from all the Democrats talk about is how insulting he is to people from other countries. But
he's also
been very, very truthful by and large.
He was
about a lot
insulting
of it.
Jonathan to Kim Jong-un, little rocket man, and little rocket man's not firing any rockets, and he's dismantling his nuclear test sites and releasing American hostages and talking about denuclearization of the entire peninsula.
And nothing good came from the media about what he did over there. But let me just, I want you to think about this. That girl that was from the DOJ that was in there screaming and hollering in that restaurant, right? We have to realize it belongs to the Socialist Party of America. And that is something that we have to take into consideration, that many of the people in government, whether they say it or not, are socialist minded, and they're not talking about security. They're not talking about what's best for the border. They're not talking about what's best for the country. They're talking about what is best for their socialist viewpoints.
All right, we're running out of time.
Border.
I gave Danielle the last word in the last segment. Now Jonathan gets the last word, and I'd say checkmate, Jonathan. Good job,
you
Jonathan.
You always do.
Here's what I'll say, Jonathan.
I'll be back. Don't worry.
Here's what I'll say. I think the president.
No, we're out of time. There's no time to say anything. That's my point. Or else I would have let Danielle respond.
Oh man.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. When we come back, wide open phones as we continue.
We did lots of fighting over issues, so it should be a good show today.
No, we did not.
Oh, yeah, we
never
did.
Never fight.
Uh-huh. Don't do that. Okay, not on the air. Not on the air.
He's trying to hold her hand.
It's 6:03.
Willie, can I ask you a question?
Uh-oh. I don't know.
We're engaged. We're engaged. I mean, we've been engaged now for like 13 years.
Stop.
Do you think I should be able to hold her hand at this point in the engagement?
With her consent.
If you'll be quiet, I'll hold your hand.
I don't even know what that means.
So I could do the news.
Well, why don't you just do that?
This show is off to an interesting start.
Welcome to the Monkey.
I just stopped playing this music because I can't take it anymore. All right. It can't just be me. I mean, it's so cringeworthy, the entire thing. I don't give a flying rip that they're dating each other or
it's
engaged.
It's cringeworthy, but it is kind of amusing, isn't it?
It's become the Saturday Night Live caricature. It's like
their show is cringeworthy whether or not they do this, though. That's the main problem. Like,
no,
even if they were just espousing their views.
I don't even know why I react to it the way I do. It's just like, oh, puke. I want to puke.
It actually had me feeling a little bit bad for Joe, which I thought would never happen.
Why? Because she didn't want to hold his hand?
Because the poor guy is trying to do a nice gesture and hold her hand. Like, and then next thing you know, she's pushing him off and acting disgusted that her fiance right now?
I'm very libertarian. I just don't care. But it's like seeing it unfold on TV the way it's like, it's weird. It just is something so bizarre.
Hey, man, if you've been together as long as they have, if you're Joe, shouldn't you know? Shouldn't you know by now that makes her uncomfortable, that kind of PDA?
I don't know. I mean, it's. I think one of the funniest Saturday Night Live skits I've ever seen is those two. Oh, all right, go ahead, put it up.
This is their new theme song.
No, exactly. Come on, Mika, hold his hand. He wants to hold your hand. Bad. Like, I don't have a problem that they're together. That's their business. I just, the way they interact with each other is just bizarre.
Holding hands on the air. Come on, that's a bit much.
It's the way they do it. It's like,
I don't mind holding hands on air. It's the rejection.
The rejection that bothers you so much? He's getting, you know, rejected. Stuffed.
How about
that makes me uncomfortable.
How about the panel having to sit and watch that? That's crazy.
Well, that's the other thing. Well, what do you guys think about us? Should we hold hands on air? And I'm like, And the thing is, they're both like pushing each other over the edge further and further. This is my big complaint about this media bubble. I'm so thankful to God. I mean this sincerely, that I
don't like these people. Now, maybe that sounds a little contradictory. God, thank you for not allowing me to like these people or want to be a part of their bubble or their little club or their little group or their little Washington correspondence dinners where they all get dressed up in those ugly suits and pat each other on the back and their little award ceremonies and they all think they're great. I'm so thankful that they hate me. They despise me. And because I call them out for the lying, phony hypocrites that they all are.
Well, if we were going to play by their rule book, shouldn't we dedicate a whole segment to whether or not they're having marital or premarital issues like they do to Donald Trump and Melania?
Well, I mean, that is the thing. I mean, they've been really, they see what they, the way they all in the media feed off each other, and they're just one small, but not really highly viewed aspect of the media, which is kind of like they're not getting it, that they're only talking to each other. And what you have, if you look on Twitter in particular, you learn that everybody in the media is part of this little bubble club. And in the bubble club, they talk to each other and they tweet each other and they retweet each other's stuff. And then they feign moral outrage over the latest Donald Trump tweet or the latest Donald Trump comment or the latest Donald Trump whatever. They never talk about his economic success or never talk about how momentous it was when he had the success and little rocket man, you know, came to the table and pretty much gave everything. They couldn't believe he gave a photo op. I'm like, yeah, look what we got in exchange for a photo op. Nothing. We didn't. I guess they wanted $150 billion in cargo cash sent over, and then maybe they would have been happy and respected Donald Trump then. And they talk to each other, and what they're not getting is they just think they're great. They all think they are the most amazing people on earth, and they feign this outrage over whatever the Trump outrage of the day is, and they try to outrage each other. He is disgusting. He is so stupid. No, he's super, super duper disgusting, and he's dumber than dirt. Stupider than you think. It's like, this is how they think. And meanwhile, the president keeps winning. You know, look at the president last night with the people. President loves, Tammy Bruce came on, perfect observation right after the president's rally last night in Minnesota. It's like, he loves being among the people of this country. And he wants to roll up his sleeves every day and go to work for the people of this country. And here's what they're also not getting. You know, maybe in the beginning there was a little bit of shock. Why isn't he acting more like that president or this president? Now it's like, oh, Donald Trump tweeted that. That's funny. Oh, now people get it. People now get him and people like it and people find it refreshing. And his honesty is, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air in a sea of political correctness. And they're enjoying every minute of it. And they kind of like, oh, let's see. More people, more jobs available than people on unemployment. That's never happened before. The lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and women. The lowest unemployment in 14 states, records for everybody. And they kind of like what's happening with their tax cuts, the crumbs that Nancy Pelosi calls it. And they kind of like the fact that, wow, he got little Rocket Man to start talking about denuclearization and releasing hostages and dismantling nuclear test facilities and stop firing rockets over Japan. You know, they're saying, wow, that kind of worked. You know, we didn't think that would work, calling him little Rocket Man and saying my button's bigger than your button and ours works and fire and fury. But it worked, and they're glad it worked because it's good for them, the future of the world, if, in fact, they can pull this sucker off and get to the finish line. Nobody else got there, and they kind of liked that he didn't pay $150 billion taxpayer dollars over to, you know, Iranian mullahs that are now saying they're accelerating their nuclear program. Well, I thought our bribery was supposed to stop that. Apparently weakness doesn't work. And I think the American people like the fact he said, I want to build a wall. Now he's fighting to build a wall. And in spite of all the outrage, now the people have finally gotten hip to the fact that Obama did the same thing with kids and parents. And they begin to realize the media is a bunch of phony, despicable hypocrites again. You know, one of the interesting things last night, conspiracy TV, MSNBC, they didn't go to the Trump speech and rally. Now, why wouldn't they go to the Trump speech and rally? Because he's calling them out and he's saying everything you just heard all week about immigration is a lie. Let me tell you what the truth is. And then he's going through the record of success that he has, and they've never told that story there either. So he's basically about to pop their bubble on their air if he goes on.
So we've created 3.4 million new jobs since Election Day. 3.4.
I won't play it now.
I've said before.
And then CNN didn't want to run it because the crowd started chanting fake news.
Back there, the fake news. Very dishonest. They would have said he's exaggerating. These are very dishonest people, many of them, and we have some fine people, too, doing that. But there's a lot of very dishonest people.
Yeah. Can you imagine being Jeff Zucker? And no wonder why I just want to carry the speech, because they're going to chant for half an hour that CNN sucks, so he can't report the news. By the way, that's real news that's really unfolding in real time.
This is CNN.
I'll tell you, these are unbelievable times we're living in. They really are. All right, let's get and one other thing. If the Democrats get elected in 2018, if you allow that to happen, and I've got plans for after the 4th of July, I'm going to be all over it because this is too important. This is going to be the most important midterm election in your lifetime because the Democrats, they've all huddled together and they pulled in Maxine Waters and some others. And they said, now, listen, Maxine, you can't lead chance impeach 45 anymore. Shush. Shush, we're going to do it, but don't tell anybody anymore. Just shush about it. Shush. You're giving away our secret. But that's what they want to do. You know, impeach 45, impeach 45.
You can stand up to him or anybody else. And for those who say to me, you are asking for something too soon and too early. Be careful. Don't jeopardize yourself. Don't say what you're saying right now. But I continue to say, impeach him.
So what is their trap? So they want impeach 45, but they don't want to tell anybody. Then they want to keep Obamacare. They want open borders. And Nancy Pelosi said she wants those crumbs, the tax cuts you got, you know, $2,000 a family. She wants her crumbs back. She wants it back immediately. Okay. You're going to want that to happen because that's your future the day after Election Day if Republicans lose this. Now, that's going to mean, well, Hannity, my guy's a rhino. You're going to have to probably suck it up a little bit and do it for the president and do it so they don't destroy the country. Yeah, I believe me. Trust me. I don't want to. I can't stand these people anymore. Republicans are just as bad most of the time than everybody else. All right. Let's get to our phones here as we say hi to Kim is in Scottsdale out in Arizona. Hey, Kim, how are you? And I hope it's 100 degrees and hazy, hot and humid. Well, not humid,
it's very
actually.
It's hot here.
But not
110.
Humid. 110.
So,
but how do you breathe in that weather?
Oh, you know what? It doesn't bother me. It's not bad. You just get used to it. I love it. I love it here.
You do. So you're 110, like you go out, you take a walk, ride your bicycle, play tennis or play golf.
Actually, I get up early, ride my bike, then go for a swim. And, you know, you do your stuff early in the day and it's great. It really
All right.
Is.
So if you're up at 6:30 in the morning doing your thing, what's the temperature then? 98? What is
90,
it?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, mid-90s is not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I can handle it. It's not bad.
I guess you get used to it. I mean, I like perfect weather. I'm more of a perfect weather person. You know, but perfect weather, not too hot, not too cold, right in the middle, you know? It's the only place in my life I don't go to the right.
Well, we have perfect weather about 9 months of the year. We got 3 months of bad, and then the rest of it, you know, we can deal with it. You know, you can handle the hot to put up with perfect the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So,
what else is on your mind today?
I can't complain. I wanted to talk about Peter Fonda and just make a comment that this man is a pervert, and this man needs to be arrested for threatening the first lady, threatening the president's child.
Kidnapped the son, put him in a cage, and put him in there with pedophiles. What a nice hearted.
That's just disgusting.
What a nice, kind little liberal he is.
Well, you know what? There's somebody that makes those kinds of comments about a child. This man needs to be arrested, and then he needs a psychiatric eval. They need to keep him and evaluate what kind of a person makes those kinds of comments and feels like there's no consequence for that. You're threatening the president. You're threatening Kristen Nielsen. So So you're threatening a cabinet member?
Listen, let me tell you something. If you threaten the first family, it's a crime. If you make terroristic threats against people, it's a crime. You can't say to somebody, I'm going to kill you, and get away with that. You just can't. All right, I'll give you the last word.
I hope that the First Lady really pushes this, and I hope she says, this guy needs to be arrested. Maybe it'll send a message to the Hollywood elite that I think they're all sick.
Yeah.
And it's just unbelievable that we have digressed as a country where to people feeling like they can say whatever they want. And it just blows my mind.
All right, Kim, listen, these are the sick times we live in. And thank God there are smart people like you that get it, because you're the one that's going to save the country. People like you. In other words, people like that were at that rally last night. People that work hard in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota. Yeah, those are the people that can save the country. North Carolina, California, Arizona. You know what? We're going to need all of you come November. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We are going to take on the corrupt media, the corrupt establishment, Republican and Democrat, tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. The great one, Mark Levin, tonight. Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter are going to be with us. Also, Jeanine Pirro, Judge Pirro, and Sebastian Gorka, Joe Concha, much more. Media corruption has never been this sick, twisted, and ugly, ever. That's all coming up. Set your DVR tonight. Hannity at 9. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you back here tomorrow.